Join us for our monthly movie event, KBOO at the Clinton. This month, on October 9th, KBOO will host a screening of The U.S. vs. John Lennon, a 2006 documentary film about John Lennon and his transformation from Beatle to anti-war activist and the repression he faced because of his political activities. That's KBOO at the Clinton with The U.S. vs. John Lennon on Thursday, October 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good people! On Thursday the 9th of October at 8 p.m., we at Guess Who's Coming to Radio will be doing our first membership drive special since our hiatus in honor of none other than Herbie Hancock. Herbie has transcended musical genres for over 50 years by meshing funk, hip-hop, electronic dance, classical, and more with a spiritual and traditional jazz sensibility. We will be exploring so many of these different eras, so stay tuned for our tribute to Herbie Hancock and Community Radio, Thursday the 9th of October at 8 p.m. on KBOO, your community radio.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Community College, where the Southeast Center at 82nd and Division is now a full-fledged campus, allowing students to earn an associate's degree in their own neighborhood. PCC celebrates on October 18th at noon with campus tours, local food vendors, and live Afro-Cuban music by Melio de Cuba. pcc.edu/celebrate.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, the first Ebola patient in the United States has died at a hospital in Texas.
We'll hear from an analyst, Chris Hedged, on the renewal of the controversial Patriot Act.
The Supreme Court has put a hold on same-sex marriage in Nevada and Idaho.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we would love to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. The man who was diagnosed with the first case of Ebola virus in the U.S. has died. Thomas Eric Duncan, who showed symptoms after returning to the U.S. from Liberia, was being treated at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital, where he was pronounced dead this morning. Duncan died just 8 days after being diagnosed. His body will not be handled for a period of 2 days, at which point his body will be cremated. This year's Ebola outbreak has ravaged West Africa with over 8,000 cases and 3,800 deaths, primarily in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. In Freetown, Sierra Leone's capital, crews went back to work today, removing bodies from homes. Workers had stopped removing the bodies yesterday after they had not been paid for weeks. Workers in Liberia have also said that they will strike if they are not paid more for removing bodies and given safety equipment as well. Yesterday, U.S. military officials said that as many as 4,000 troops may spend as much as a year in the region in an effort to contain the epidemic. Federal officials announced today that they will screen passengers arriving from West Africa for fever at 5 airports as a precautionary measure.
The U.S. Supreme Court has placed a hold on same-sex marriages in Idaho, where a gay marriage ban was struck down yesterday. Idaho and Nevada were both ordered by a federal appeals court to immediately issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples after their gay marriage bans were struck down. Justice Anthony Kennedy issued the order to suspend same-sex marriages after receiving notice of Idaho's plan to appeal and gave same-sex couples opposing the ban until Thursday to file a response. Nevada did not appeal the ruling, so same-sex marriages will proceed there. The court on Monday refused to hear five states' appeals to their gay marriage bans being struck down. In all, 33 states now allow gay and lesbian couples to marry, an increase of 14 since the beginning of the month.
Vice President Joe Biden visited Portland today, campaigning for Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley, who is taking on Dr. Monica Webby this November. Biden appeared at the Oregon Convention Center for a 2:30 rally and spoke for 10 minutes, addressing rising tuition costs and an eroding middle class before taking questions from the crowd. He referred to Merkley as a real guy. Biden's appearance tied up traffic on Portland highways, and TriMet issued warnings for major delays, routing the MAX past the convention center until 5 o'clock. The Oregon Department of Transportation also ran old footage on its live camera feeds of I-84, the route Biden took to and from the airport.
Outgoing Portland Police Chief Mike Reese will receive between a six-figure public safety employee pension when he retires next year. Reese, who announced his retirement yesterday, is expected to receive $103,000 to $135,000. The amount is dependent on which type of accrual Reese opts for. Reese has accrued nearly 25 years of service and accounts for his time with the Multnomah County Sheriffs. Mayor Charlie Hales, who also serves as police commissioner, appointed Assistant Police Chief Larry O'Day as Reese's successor. O'Day has pledged more accountability from the Portland Police Bureau, as well as further diversity in the force and the command staff. The PPB, the city, and the federal government recently settled a federal use of force lawsuit after the Bureau was found in 2012 to routinely use excessive force against mentally ill people or those perceived to be mentally ill by officers. O'Day will oversee reforms laid out in that settlement.
Portland's Slavic community has been accepted into the Coalition of Communities of Color and was the subject of a study submitted this morning in the Portland City Council. This marks the first report on the everyday lives of the Slavic community in the Portland area. The decision to include Slavic immigrants in the Coalition of Communities of Color has been a contentious one. These immigrants hail from Russia, Ukraine, Lithuania, Latvia, and other former Soviet states, and according to U.S. Census data, are classified as white. But members of the community have appealed for their inclusion in the coalition, which will allow them access to certain funding and programs. The unemployment rate for working-age members of the Slavic community is 31%. About 70% of the community doesn't vote, and many use the Oregon Health Plan, food stamps, or welfare. The Portland area has one of the highest numbers of Russian-speaking immigrants in the country.
The Belmont goats have been moved from the site where they've lived for the past several years to a new location in Lentz. The plan was developed to develop the lot on Southeast 10th and Belmont was the subject of a hearing this afternoon at the City Council. Commissioner Dan Salzman spoke late in the hearing on the confusion he felt about the plan for that site.
I think it's important to us that we need to try to better explain what we're doing here because I am frankly lost. And I've been on this body for 16 years. So we're asking to say basically the design, everybody's happy with the design. We want some direction to Kurt Kruger of PBOT to work with, and this is maybe the part that I'm a little concerned about, is to work with possibly altering the number of parking spaces or the type of parking spaces.
You're right, this is unique, and this is the first time we've come across this in a land use proceeding, to my knowledge. I'd want to say for the record, the parking there is unique today. It is a mix of homeless camping that is occurring today. So we have parking spaces that are not churning over, that are just basically becoming long-term parking spots, as well as parking riding operations for people on the east side that are parking at this block and walking or commuting across the river. So these parking spaces today are not serving the district needs, in my professional opinion.
Okay.
So
okay.
The development of the site, implementing signs that allow the requirement of parking to turn over, is actually going to serve this district far better than it is today.
Commissioner Fritz, could you articulate a motion just so we have something to think about?
I move to deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's recommendation.
Second. Second. Purpose of discussion.
And then we can have a separate motion on a directing or encouraging Central East Side Industrial mm-hmm. Council to petition the Commissioner in Charge of Transportation in 6 months after it started for a discussion before council about the parking, if that's necessary, but I don't think it's going to be, because I just believe that the parties are going to work together as you normally do on parking issues.
Even if I were convinced that our street standards in the Central East Side were wrong, I would still vote to deny the appeal, simply to paraphrase John Adams, on the grounds that we need to have a government of laws and not of individuals. I don't think that we can act. I mean, our employees have to have the right to discuss issues like this with developers on the assumption that the rules are the rules, and to make agreements based on the idea that the rules are the rules, rather than on the assumption that the rules might change at any time because we want to accommodate what people are used to.
Last week, I visited a building not far from here in the industrial sanctuary where I learned that Apple had contracted with a firm to test all their apps, and another company was testing the effectiveness of product placement ads and movies, and another place was building world-class furniture, and someone else was fabricating small batches of world-class bicycles and a smaller batch that leading manufacturers wanted to test out a concept, so they went to this gentleman. It's exciting what's happening there, and I don't know if you saw today's paper. You'd have to work through the sports section, the food section, and the obituaries, but there was a story in today's paper that said Portland has overtaken Washington County in per capita income and in job growth. One-third, as Debbie pointed out earlier, one-third of the jobs since the Great Recession in our community have been grown right here in the Central East Side. So it is a vitally important job creation center. And what we're learning today is that within this zone, we have to balance a number of uses, and we have to balance them thoughtfully. And it's not an easy, there's no either or, there's a both under our zoning code. And so we have a duty to try to strike it right because we have a lot at stake. And this is a critically important job creating district in our city.
Those were Portland Commissioners Dan Saltzman and Steve Novick. The commission voted this afternoon to deny an appeal by the Central East Side Industrial District of design changes in the planning residential and commercial complex at Southeast 10th and Belmont. The site was home to a herd of goats known as the Belmont Goats until those goats were relocated this month to prepare for construction.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, so now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us are Conch and Seth to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hey, thanks. And yes, I'm Conch. I'm out here with Seth, and we are hoping that you will call toll-free 877-500-KBOO with your pledge of support. And that translates to 877-500-5266. Remember, a pledge is a promise. We have folks back here who are willing to find out how much you would like to pay, maybe on a monthly basis, $5 or $10 or $20 a month, and find a great way for you to do it. You know, you can, if you do a monthly deduction from checking, we can send you a little form out, and you can get it back to us, and then you're all set up. We want to thank some of the folks who have been giving online at kboo.fm. If you go to kboo.fm, you can look in the upper right-hand corner and see a tip jar that says Donate Today. And David from Lake Oswego.
I'm giving a goat bell instead of a cow bell.
That's right.
To keep up with the theme.
It's for the former Belmont Goats, now the Lentz Goats. So David from Lake Oswego, thank you. Lee from Lake Oswego, thank you as well. Michael from Portland, thanks, Michael. James from Portland. And Susan and John from Placerville, California. I've been down. It looks like Placerville, but I've been down there. Isn't it Placerville?
I always said Placerville, but I've said a lot of wrong things.
All right.
We also have three phone-in memberships. Nancy from Hillsborough, new member. Elizabeth from North Portland, a new member.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And Dawn from North Portland. Forget it, Hillsborough and North Portland. Come on, South Portland. Come on, they're shaming you. Gresham, Clackamas, let's go. Get on the phone, 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm. You'll hear your name by our dulcet tones over the radio. You will be helping community radio. You will be keeping the local news and all the things you love about KBOO on the air. 877-500-5266.
You've been hearing some stories about politics, local politics here, and in-depth stories about the policies that are going on in the area, the city and county and regional metro policies. We also, you know, we have folks out in Clark County in Southwest Washington who keep us updated on things. You don't just hear, say, a 3 or 5 minute local news roundup at the top of the hour. You hear serious, in-depth reports from folks who are going out there into the community with the mobile rigs and talking to the newsmakers. That is what you get when you call 877-500-KBOO. That is what you support when you go to KBOO.FM.
And you don't hear any local news on the other stations. So we give you full, in-depth local news. Most stations don't give you any local news other than traffic and weather. So if you like to hear about your local news and the things that are important to you here in Portland, or your mindset or your individuality, KBOO.FM, 877-500-5266. And I'd like to thank the restaurants that are feeding our volunteers today. Breakfast, Bridges Cafe, 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Chai Yo Thai for lunch, 1411 Northeast Broadway. And for dinner, Breakside Brewery, Breakside Brew Pub. And they are located at 820 Northeast Deckham. Thank you all very much.
Great members of our community, all of them. And you can become a great member of our community when you call toll-free 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Let's hear a little bit more news from our local homegrown team.
Today, 29-year-old Brittany Maynard wrote an editorial to CNN defending her choice to move to Portland for access to Oregon's Death with Dignity Act. Brittany was diagnosed with brain cancer and given 6 months to live by doctors in April. The nonprofit organization Compassion and Choices, who Brittany is now partnered with, is asking other states to adopt similar legislation to the Death with Dignity Act. KBOO's Eric Tegedoff spoke with Compassion and Choices Oregon Outreach Coordinator Matt Whitaker about the Death with Dignity Act here in this state.
Today, Brittany Maynard brought to light some of these issues about the Death with Dignity Act. And first of all, if you could explain the Death with Dignity Act.
Absolutely. So what the Death with Dignity Act allows is for a mentally competent, terminally ill adult to request a prescription for medication, life-ending medication, to end suffering at the end of life. And so what it allows people to do is to die on their own terms when they're facing suffering that they believe is too much, and so it gives people control at the end of life.
The state of Oregon was actually the first state to enact such a law, and there's still only 5 states in the country that have such a law on the books. I was wondering, why do you think the rest of the country has been so slow to take up such a law?
Yeah, first let me address just the fact that referring to it as physician-assisted suicide. This is not physician-assisted suicide.
Okay.
The practice is called aid in dying, and the reason is that suicide is something that happens when someone who is mentally ill no longer wants to live. Aid in dying, on the other hand, is someone who would absolutely love to live and love to continue on, but they're terminally ill, and they're merely using this method to decrease suffering at the end of life. So this is a person that would die anyways, but they're choosing to do this to believe on their own terms rather than following the path of suffering that the disease might run. So also, you know, you're right. Oregon was the first state to pass this law 17 years ago, and just recently, four other states, so 5 total, have authorized aid in dying. And I think part of the reason why it's starting now and why it has taken a little bit of time is because Oregon is really the laboratory state. We passed this law, and what we've proved over the past 17 years is that many of the concerns that people have not come to fruition. It's been a success story, really. And so now other states are seeing that, and they're coming on board. So it's really, we're at a tipping point for the movement, and there are campaigns that are active in multiple states across the United States right now, and with people like Brittany coming on board, we're going to do more great work.
So you think in the near future there's going to be a lot more states following suit?
I do. I do think so. I think that momentum is in favor for this, And I think that when people connect on a personal level, and when they see someone like Brittany, it makes it real for them. It puts a face with an issue. And when that happens, great things can happen. So we're seeing a lot of momentum. We're seeing a lot of people who are encouraged by her story and who are empowered to make a change.
And I think, as she has pointed out, she's in a bit of a privileged position because she is able to move from the state of California to Portland, though a lot of people don't have that option. Have you seen many people do what Brittany's done, even though obviously not everyone can?
Right. So this is the fact that Brittany had to move, for one, is a great injustice, and it really points out the problem that exists in that it is really a miraculous circumstance, frankly, that someone who is terminally ill and facing all this was able to uproot herself and move to Oregon. And people shouldn't have to do that. That just shouldn't be the case. And so regardless of the fact that she was able to do that, what she's really pointing out is the great injustice that occurs in that not being an option at your home, where you're from, surrounded by the people that you love and the community that you've built.
Do you think even on a national scale, people can point to the state and say, yes, that's what we need out of an aid in dying sort of law?
Absolutely. I think that Oregon is a great success story, and I think that if there's any area that we need to improve, it's in educating the public, even in our own state, about the fact that this law exists. You know, Brittany's story has come out, and there's been a lot of media around it, and there have been a lot of people who are going, I've lived in Oregon for years, and I didn't even know that this option was available. And so an exciting thing that we're doing here in the state is actually launching an access campaign to educate consumers and healthcare providers about what we have in the state, the success that we've had, and how we can further access to that for people living in Oregon as well.
For KBOO News, this is Eric Tegedoff. I've been speaking with Matthew Whitaker of Compassion and Choices.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Right to Survive Radio at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather will be mostly sunny with a high of 77 and a low of 51. Today in history, in 1967, socialist guerrilla Che Guevara was captured along with his men in Bolivia. In 1969, the Days of Rage anti-Vietnam War protests called by the Weathermen faction of Students for a Democratic Society began in Chicago. In 1981, Poland banned the group Solidarity and all trade unions. And finally, in 2001, today marked the establishment by then-President George W. Bush of the Department of Homeland Security.
It is 5:23, time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Perhaps you think that corporations use their campaign donations to buy politicians who then deliver public policies the corporate donors want. And perhaps you think this is corrupt, anti-democratic, and, well, stinky. You would, of course, be right. As Lily Tomlin has put it, no matter how cynical you get, it's almost impossible to keep up. The corporate purchase of Washington is pretty widely reported. But keep up now, for the kleptocratic stinkiness is fast consuming our state houses as well. The Republican Governors Association has devised a layaway purchase plan allowing brand-name corporations, Aetna to Walmart, to make secret donations of $100,000 or more a year to the RGA in support of the corporate-friendly agenda of various GOP governors. Feed the RGA's political favor meter with $250,000 a year, as Coca-Cola, the Koch brothers, and others do, and the association cynically anoints your corporation with the ironic title of statesman, opening up gubernatorial doors throughout the country. Well, sniff the participants, the money buys nothing but access to policymakers. But wait, when was access put on the auction block? Shouldn't everyone have access to our public officials? Of course, but if you called your governor, you can't even get an office intern to call you back. If you're an RGA corporate statesman, however, you could get a tete-a-tete with Rick Perry, the recently indicted governor of Texas, or a private breakfast with Bob McDonnell, the now convicted former governor of Virginia. See, membership in the corrupt club has its privileges. This is Jim Hightower saying, corporate donors to this previously secret scheme of plutocratic rule say it's okay, for they also give money to Democrats. Oh, bipartisan corruption. That makes me feel so much better. How about you?
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news, so now it's your turn. Joining us once again are Conch and Seth to talk about how you can support KBOO.
Thank you. This is Seth and Conch here. We are KBOO volunteers, reminding you to give us a call at 877-500-5266. Fight the power. I'm going to piggyback on what Jim Hightower was talking about. Even in Portland, which is considered a progressive left-wing community, five companies, Entercom, CBS, Clear Channel, and Salem Communications, Bustos Media, they own the majority of the media. That's what makes KBOO so important. Keep this news coming to you. We need your support. 877-500-5266. We are not reporting fluff stories about Hollywood superstars or TV guys and their opinions on important things. We're reporting the issues, the facts, and the events that matter to you. Remember, we are the people we've been waiting for. 877-500-5266. We're waiting for you to give us a call.
You know, we've been hearing some really interesting in-depth reporting. The end-of-life story, for example, that was going on here, as well as the commentary from Jim Hightower. I always love to listen to him. But, you know, KBOO News has a history just going back ages, but especially this year, has been just on fire, exposing all sorts of stories that have been reported first or only on this station. You may have heard KBOO News exposing a practice of estate reclamation used by the state to take away the homes of Medicaid recipients between 55 and 65. Other outlets began to pick up that story, and the state agency involved announced they were going to stop the policy. You might have also heard about protests outside Nike headquarters to push the company to stop selling sportswear with Native American masketry, or about exclusive interviews from actions to block an Israeli ship from entering the ports of Tacoma and Seattle, or when the Koch brothers' industries showed up in a small logging town on the Olympic Peninsula. Nobody but KBOO News noticed. So if that is the sort of thing that impresses you, then you could give $5 or $10 or $20 a month to help keep the volunteers out there, keep that equipment going, keep the lights on, keep the equipment from breaking down. That the best way to do that is to call toll-free 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266.
Or visit us online at kboo.fm. Click on the little tip jar in the corner. Give a monthly donation. It's easy. It comes right out of your bank account. It's safe. It's secure. It's convenient. Pledge $5 a month. That's $60 a year. We'll send you an Amy Goodman book. We'll send you a KBOO mug in addition to helping us. $10 a month, $120 a year. $10 a month. That's an hour's wage, and that will give KBOO $120 a year. This is your community radio. We are doing what you want us to do. You tell us what to do, we try to get it on. Come on down, visit us, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We accept cash. Come visit us, see what the faces look like behind the mics. Come take a tour of the station. Become a volunteer. Get a show of your own. Do a news show. Do a music show. We are all volunteers here. There are over 500 of us, and we do it because we love KBOO. You're listening because you love KBOO. Get on the phone, 877-500-5266. Keep your community strong.
Have you got $6.25 on you right now? I mean, you know, that might buy you a drink during happy hour somewhere. But, you know, for $6.25 a month, it's a $75 minimum yearly donation. You can get the KBOO News flash drive. That's a 4-gig flash drive with dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of amazing exclusive KBOO content. Includes recorded talks by Amy Goodman, by Greg Palast, Bill McKibben of 350.org, Raj Patel, Robert Jensen, Kathleen Dean Moore, so many others, plus audio from numerous KBOO-hosted specials and content that's never even been broadcast on the radio. This is an incredible deal for $75, $6.25 per month when you call toll-free 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Seth, I like what you're saying about the other outlets just not covering local stuff. It's not that they don't want to. There's like really talented, smart people there. They're just not given the opportunity to. They're not given the funding to.
And there's no profit in it.
Right, but there's
they're profit oriented. We are not. We are community oriented.
But KBOO's been picking up the slack because volunteers here think it's important. They care so much about their community. They want to bring the level of discourse in this community up that they are going out there. They are using the equipment that KBOO owns, going out there into the field, getting these stories, learning how to host, how to do an interview, how to edit, all of the stuff that people learn for free. You can support this. You can keep this whole tradition going by going online, kboo.fm, upper right-hand corner, donate today. Just click through that. It's an incredibly easy way to leaf through things. Or talk to our volunteers back here. They're happy folks who are looking forward to talking to you and giving you options. What's the number to talk to our volunteers?
877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. In case you need even another reason to give us a $75 a year donation, we are in partnership here at KBOO with Friends of Trees. Every donation at the $75 level will get a tree planted by Friends of Trees in the city of Portland. Community, trees, community radio. Come on, get on the phone. 877-500-5266. Thank you.
Florida corrections officials are investigating the death of an inmate in custody who had previously compared that a prison guard was threatening to kill her. LaTondra Ellington was found dead at the Lowell Prison in Ocala, Florida on October 1st. Medical examiners determined she died of hemorrhaging caused by blunt force injuries to her abdomen, consistent with being punched or kicked. Ellington had complained to her aunt in a letter that an anonymous Sergeant Q had threatened to kill her. The letter from September 21st read that the guard had taken Ellington into a back room and threatened to kill her. The attorneys who once represented the family of Trayvon Martin have called in the Justice Department to intervene in Ellington's case. Florida's corrections are already under investigation by state officials for over 100 non-natural inmate deaths in custody, including the scalding death of a prisoner in a shower. A Miami Herald investigation this year found that prison guards at four Florida institutions beat and tortured prisoners, smuggled drugs into prison for money or sexual favors, and teamed with gang members to keep order in the prison by force. 32 guards were fired after the stories were published.
A SWAT team in Georgia that threw a flashbang grenade into a baby's crib will have no charges filed against them. The decision by a Georgia grand jury has angered civil liberty activists and the community where the incident took place. Baby Boo Boo, as he is known by friends and family, had a hole torn through his chest and his nose removed from his face when the flashbang grenade landed in the crib where he was sleeping. In May, the Habersham County Special Response Team executed a no-knock drug raid on the home of a family friend where Baby Boo Boo, his parents, and sisters were staying. It was the middle of the night, and dozens of SWAT officers swarmed the yard where children's toys were scattered. The police broke down the door and began firing so-called non-lethal weapons. Then the SWAT officers decided to throw a flashbang grenade into the crib that was set up in the living room. When Alicia, Baby Boo Boo's mother, tried to go to him, they screamed at her to shut up. They threw the baby's father to the ground, injuring his shoulder so badly he cannot take care of his children alone anymore. Alicia and Boo did not see their son until they arrived at the hospital several hours later. Baby Boo Boo underwent extensive surgery and was put into a medically induced coma. He spent more than a month in intensive care and will never fully recover from his injuries. The grand jury arrived at their decision after 6 days of reviewing testimony and found no evidence of criminal intent or criminal negligence on the part of any law enforcement officer involved. The family's lawyer said they plan to appeal the decision. SWAT teams raid people's homes approximately 50,000 times a year in the United States. Most of these raids are to search for drugs. Habersham County, where the flashbang exploded in Baby Boo Boo's crib, has received at least 17 assault rifles, 13 automatic pistols, 2 utility trucks, and an armored personnel carrier from the federal government in the last 10 years alone.
Next June, a major provision of the USA Patriot Act authorizing large-scale phone surveillance is set to expire. Section 215 of the Patriot Act provides the NSA with the legal pretext for its bulk domestic phone records dragnet. It also provides the Federal Bureau of Investigation with the power to obtain vast amounts of business records relevant to terrorism or espionage investigations. Analyst Chris Hedges spoke this morning on KABU about the past 13 years of wide-scale surveillance of all Americans.
The Patriot Act is part of a pattern of both legislative and judicial assaults against our most important and cherished civil liberties, all of which at this point have been virtually eradicated. We don't feel it because the population is passive, most of us, in the same way that when the Nazis declared martial law after the Reichstag fire, people got up and went to work and everything appeared normal and they didn't feel it either. You never want to give the state this kind of power, power of wholesale surveillance, power of stripping citizens of due process, the power of assassinating U.S. citizens, the power of using the military now under Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act to employ the military as a domestic police force and detain U.S. citizens in military facilities where they are not only stripped of due process but can be held indefinitely. Because when states take that kind of power, they use it. It's always done or justified in the name of national security, in the name of fighting, in this case, the evils of Islamic terrorism. But we are already seeing increasingly that activists, dissidents, renegades are essentially being treated in the same way that domestic or foreign, quote unquote, terrorists are treated. And that's what always happens. I mean, the wholesale surveillance, of course, is justified in the name of the war, the so-called war on terror. So I think that part of the reason that people are complacent is because we live in a period of relative stability. But should, whether through climate change or another economic crisis, there should be significant portions of the population that become restive, then the state has at its disposal both the legal and physical mechanisms by which they can criminalize whole categories of people. And I don't think that we should forget that one of the components of all this is the war on drugs, where in the name of the so-called war on drugs, poor communities, marginal communities, suffer from what the philosopher Hannah Arendt called omnipotent policing, which means, in essence, that these police serve as judge, jury, and executioner. They can kick down your doors in the middle of the night, even for a search warrant for a nonviolent offense. A night raid in a place like Oakland doesn't look any different at this point from a night raid in Fallujah. And that omnipotent policing, once you physically create it, Hannah Arendt writes about this vis-a-vis the stateless in Europe with the rise of Nazi Germany, and she, of course, herself was stateless in France. She said once you corrupt the legal system, which we have already done, and once you put into place these physical components, these all-powerful police networks, ostensibly, in our case, to deal with drugs, although I think, Michelle Alexander and others have done a great job of exposing that fallacy, then that marriage is deeply insidious and deeply dangerous because it's almost with the flick of a switch that you can suddenly find yourself as an ordinary citizen living under martial law. And I think that the difference between Al-Qaeda which was clan-based and family-based, and the difference between groups like ISIS or some of these radical Islamic groups that have risen in Syria is that they have a large component of outside or foreign fighters who can easily come back. And I think that the heavy violence that we've decided to mete out almost ensures some kind of domestic terrorism eventually, because it's a lot easier for these people to get back into the country. The systems like this capitalize on a crisis. You know, that's totalitarian systems are very good about that. And our species of corporate totalitarianism is no different. So they took the 9/11 attacks and capitalized on them. And if, you know, they didn't have the 9/11 attacks, they would have eventually capitalized on something else. But, you know, they use that as a lever to cement into place this kind of what Sheldon Wolin calls system of inverted totalitarianism that has now essentially replaced our democracy. We have the facade of democracy, but we no longer have a democracy in any meaningful way. And you mentioned the column I wrote about Stanley Cohen, the activist attorney. You know, Lynn Stewart was imprisoned and barred. You know, these handful of attorneys who attempt to challenge the system now are going to prison.
That was Chris Hedges speaking this morning on KBOO's Air Cascadia.
It's that time again. Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us again are Conch and Seth to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Great to hear Chris Hedges again. He is a fan of KBOO as well. So many national and international reporters. He is an award-winning journalist who's been in so many war zones and written many books. He loves to come to KBOO, and I think he might even be a contributor. So you can join all these contributors when you call toll-free 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
That's right, or you can go on kboo.fm, click on the little tip jar. We make it easy as possible for you. It's secure. It's convenient. We need help here. We need your help. Help us help you. We are community radio. We're filling all the gaps in corporate media that need filling. In fact, the gaps are more important than what they're giving you. So this is KBOFM. You listen to us because you love what we do. We love that you love what we do. Share the love. 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM. Come visit us, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, right off Burnside. Come see us, visit us, take a tour of the station. Who knows, you might like it here and become a volunteer and then do what we do. Right, Conch?
But first, we want you to call 877-500-KBOO. It's 877-500-5266. And our volunteers back here are equipped to give you all sorts of options and ideas about how you can become maybe a $5, a $10, a $20 a month member. I have that cable coming in my home, and I do not, you know, use anywhere near as much cable as I do listen to KBOO during the week. And so, you know, I end up paying this huge amount of money per month for my cable. You know, where the money I pay for KBOO is money well worth spent, because 46 years on the air, 46 years taking this town from a backwoods logging town to the darling of the New York Times. Love us or blame us for it, KBOO has been bringing live music on the air, has been covering civic politics, has been out there in the community, digging around, doing amazing work to improve the culture of the region and improve the environment of the region, and pushing for all of the important things that are going on.
And don't forget the radio theater.
Don't forget the radio theater
that KBOO puts on.
UBU.
That's right. UBU, puppets, and the
yes, you can support that. You can go online and support that. KBOO.FM. Look in the upper right corner of the screen, KBOO.FM. It'll say donate today. It'll give you many of the options that you need too. But, you know, it'll be probably quicker and more enjoyable when you call in at 877-500-KBOO. It's 877-500-KBOO. 800-500-5266.
83% of all of our funds are directly from individuals like you, you the listener. We only get 17% from other local sources. We are not corporate sponsored. We don't get big grants. We are community radio. We've been in business now for 46 years on the air. We'd like to stay on another 46 years, if not more. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Every dollar is worth it. Every dollar is important. Give us a call right now, 877-500-5266.
Election season's coming up. You're going to depend on KBOO. Our people get out there. I have personally talked to governors, senators, representatives, mayors, stumping for KBOO News out there in the field during election time. We go in depth. We have talk radio. You want to support that, you want to call 877-500-KBOO. And now, more news.
22 people are reportedly dead after rioting broke out in southern Turkey today, as Kurds, angered at the country's reliance on Kurdish fighters to repel Islamic State militants, boiled over. The deaths are the heaviest toll from a street protest Turkey has seen in years, and came as police used tear gas and water cannons against crowds in five provinces, as well as the cities of Ankara and Istanbul. The riots occurred on the same day that Kurdish fighters have reportedly lost further ground to Islamic State militants in the majority Kurd Syrian border city of Kobani. United States and United Arab Emirates warplanes have increased bombing of ISIS positions in the city over the past 2 days, with little apparent effect. Turkish tanks are spotted near the border during the fighting, but have so far held their positions. Turkey has so far refused to team with the United States and Arab allies against ISIS until the U.S. agrees to target Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's forces in Syria. The siege on the city has caused many of its 130,000 residents to flee over the border into Turkey.
And now the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imemc.org for Wednesday, October 8, 2014. Israeli troops attack Palestinian worshippers in Jerusalem and try to kidnap a Palestinian lawmaker from the West Bank. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. In Jerusalem on Wednesday, Palestinian medical sources have reported that dozens of residents have been wounded when Israeli soldiers and settlers invaded the yards of Al-Aqsa Mosque and attacked dozens of worshippers. The sources said that the soldiers threw gas bombs, concussion grenades, and rubber-coated metal bullets at the Palestinians in the yards of the mosque and even into the interior of Al-Qibli Mosque. The attack took place after dozens of Israelis tried to invade the mosque while marking the Sukkot feast. Elsewhere, several armored Israeli military jeeps invaded on Wednesday at dawn the northern West Bank city of Nablus in an attempt to kidnap an elderly Palestinian legislator, clashing with dozens of local youth and causing scores of injuries. Eyewitnesses said that soldiers invaded the city through Asira Road, heading towards the Al-Ain refugee camp, before breaking into the home of legislator Ahmed Al-Hajj Ali, 75 years of age, in an attempt to kidnap him. He was not at home. Later, troops clashed with local youth. Many residents were treated for the effects of tear gas inhalation. In other news, several Israeli military jeeps invaded the Wadi An-Nis area south of the West Bank city of Bethlehem. Soldiers handed 9 families military orders to demolish their under-construction homes under the pretext of being built without construction permits from the Israeli military. Head of the Wadi An-Nis village council, Yusuf Abu Hamad, said that dozens of soldiers invaded the village and handed the warrants to the families, informing them that they have 45 days to file official appeals with the Israeli Supreme Court. Abu Hamad added that similar orders were handed to families from the village last week. Israel largely denies construction permits to Palestinian families in their own lands in Area C, approximately 61% of the West Bank, under full Israeli military and security control. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, October 7th, 2014 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Jessa Bandura.
In the latest news from U.S. occupied Afghanistan, five men accused of gang rape were executed today by hanging. The executions were carried out on the outskirts of Kabul, the Afghan capital. The United Nations and Human Rights Group had previously criticized the judicial process which handed down the executions and had asked Afghan President Ashraf Ghani to stay the execution. The attack occurred last month in the outskirts of Kabul as the attackers, impersonating police, tied up a wedding party and raped four women. The attack led to a national outcry calling for the men's deaths. One other man, alleged to be the head of a kidnapping ring, was also hanged. In other news, five people were killed in a suicide car bomb attack in Helmand province as Taliban militants attempted to kill a local police official. 18 people were wounded in that attack.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Eric Tegedoff. The producer is Mike Klepfer. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Janka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Aaron J. Bernard.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with investigative reporter David K. Johnson, author of Perfectly Legal, Free Lunch, The Fine Print, and editor of the anthology Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality. At 9 o'clock, it's Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know, with host Teresa Mitchell. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, we speak with Portland author Peyton Marshall about her debut novel, Good House. Marshall is a former member of the all-female punk band, Third Sex. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures welcomes the writing and illustrating team behind the comics-oriented guidebook, Clusters and Your Economy, which examines collaborative communities from Renaissance Florence to California's Silicon Valley. Coming up next is Right to Survive Radio, but first we go back to Conch, at least. Oh, Conch and Seth, yes. To talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon.
We are it. We are it indeed. And we are you. We are you out there in the community. We're not here to sell you any soap. We're not here to broadcast from Dallas. We're here to broadcast from 20 Southeast 8th here in Portland, where you can drop in, say hello, look through some of our thank you gifts when you become a member, or you can call 877-500-KBOO. Talk to one of our volunteers. Talk to one of our phone answerers. 877-500-5266.
And this is N. Seth. And this is KBOO. This is KBOO FM. We are one of the country's most respected and longest-running community-run radio stations. We are free-range, homegrown, non-GMO. We are you. We are your voice. We are not the corporate voice. We are not big money. We are little money. So we need a little money from you, whatever you can support. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. Get online, kboo.fm, press the little tip jar. $5 a month is $60 a year. It's easy, it's secure. You can make a monthly donation. You don't even have to think about it. You can pick one of our giveaway gifts, great stuff, books by Amy Goodman, T-shirts, mugs. Help your community, get something to show for it. Whatever you can afford, an hour's wage a month, that's what you can afford. That adds up. It pays the bills. It keeps these mics on. It keeps the lights on. It keeps the volunteers, and it keeps the news going, the local news, the news that matters to you, not the fluff from corporate America. 877-500-5266, kboo.fm, or come on down in person, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, south of Burnside. Come on in and join the community.
Hey, do you have $5 a month? You can get a full-color KBOO versus the Mediazilla's T-shirt by award-winning cartoonist Matt Worker. That's a fantastic item to get at 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. It depicts the huge media conglomerates that are having a little trouble stumbling around like Godzilla while the little KBOO biplane swoops around them. You know, a little KBOO biplane is going to head out onto the streets for one of my favorite shows, Right to Survive Radio. We've got just a few minutes before that we got to that, and that's a perfect timing for you to call in one of our volunteers, talk to them about membership options at 877-500-KBOO. I listen, you know, if I turn on the TV, I'll see celebutant news. They're talking to some person with, you know, their face sort of made up like nature never intended to be, and parts of their body all altered. And, you know, I just don't find celebutant news that interesting, but I do find it interesting to talk to people who are out there on the street who have amazing stories of survival and cooperation with the folks around them, and about, you know, bringing up the rest of society, even when they have so little to work with. Incredible stories out there, and that's what I'm looking forward to listening to in the next hour. But before that happens, we'd really like you to become a member, to go online perhaps at kboo.fm. Up in the upper right corner of the screen, you'll see the Donate Today jar at kboo.fm. Click on that and head through it, and you will become an active member of the community, supporting all of this amazing stuff that is so incredibly well thought out, is so well financed. I just spent 3 years on the board. I'm off now. I'm delighted to be leaving incredibly good people in my stead at this point. But, you know, we got things down to where a balanced budget. This station is running on a balanced budget. We cut expenses. We found great new ways to get things on the cheap. But, you know, it's time to invest. It's time to bring up our web presence and other things. So you can become a contributor. You can become somebody who really helps move KBOO into the fast lane.
How can they do that?
How can they do that?
How can they do that?
I
think they can dial 877-500-5266. If your dialing finger's broken, kboo.fm on the internet. There's only 8 paid staff members here at KBOO. This is community radio. There are over 500 volunteers. There are 4,900 members, but there are over 45,000 listeners. We need to make up that difference. Start calling us now, 877-500-5266. Help us make a difference. You can make a difference by helping us make a difference and get real news, important issues, not that, what was the word you used? Celebutant?
Celebutant.
I like that. It's that celeb is someone's opinion.
No celebutant.
Who doesn't
here.
Know about anything, about an opinion that he has an opinion about. Not important.
Well said.
Not important. Well, I tried. So give us a call at 877-500-5266. This is your friends, your neighbors, your community about issues that affect you. It's the news you're not supposed to know. I like that title. Give us a call right now.
Coast.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Right to Survive Radio.
It's time once again for KBOO's annual John Lennon birthday celebration, this year with two events. Join KBOO at the Clinton Street Theater this Thursday, October 9th, for the film The U.S. vs. John Lennon. This 2006 documentary is not a movie about the past, but a timely film about artists and their responsibility during a time of war, with the example of John and Yoko turning the spotlight of their celebrity onto what they called commercials for world peace, featuring Gore Vidal, Tariq Ali, Howard Zinn, Yoko Ono, and others. That's this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. The next night, join us for our all-night birthday party beginning at 8 p.m. until 6 a.m. KBOO presents John Lennon Night with outtakes, interviews, and lots of rare recordings. That's John Lennon Birthday Celebration this week on KBOO Portland.
Fight the Power on KBOO. That's the theme of this year's News and Public Affairs Day, this Friday, October 10th, from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Highlights include Nation magazine columnist Katha Pollitt talking about her new book, Pro Reclaiming Abortion.